Before the pitch of every Major League Baseball game, sometimes even before half the crowd has made it to their seats, somebody takes the field and sings the national anthem. We don't often find ourselves thinking about those performers after the brave have found their way home, unless it all goes terribly wrong. Only a Game's Karen Given has our story.
About a month ago, during a Friday night dinner with her family, 89-year-old Hermina Hirsch half overheard a conversation between her two sons. She remembers them saying something about baseball and the national anthem.
Something like that. And I said to them, boys, I am going to sing the national anthem. Not I would like to, but I said I am going to sing.
Hirsch doesn't know much about baseball. She was born in what was then Czechoslovakia, but she knows the U.S. national anthem really well.
I love this song, and I do it frequently for my chapter or the Holocaust survivors when we get together once a week.
Hirsch lost her parents, three brothers, and aunts and uncles at Auschwitz. She moved to Detroit in 1953. But back to that dinner with her family last month.
That was Friday night. Sunday morning, my oldest son showed up with his pocket radio, you know.
I'm pretty sure the word Hirsch is looking for here is smartphone.
And took a picture of me and said, go ahead and sing because I know somebody who wants to hear your voice.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
The video made a big splash online. Detroit media showed up at Hirsch's door for interviews. They asked her if she would be nervous to sing in front of a crowd. If I lived through the concentration camp, she told them, it couldn't be that bad. Last Saturday night, Hermina Hirsch got her wish.
When I sang at the ball game, I said, my goodness. I had to lift my hand to God that I see so many people and they all cheering for me.
After she sang, Hirsch and her family watched the game together. Then they all went out for pizza to celebrate. Hirsch took home many great memories of singing in Comerica Park, but she didn't take home a paycheck.
No. And I don't even want to be paid because this is an honor that my kids will remember when I am gone. They all came, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. So that was enough pay for me.
And that's how it's supposed to go, right? A happy performer, a happy family. The Tigers even won that game, 5-4. But it doesn't always go that well. In fact, every once in a while, it goes very, very badly.
I'm working on now of actually trying to get some people to come in to help counsel chorus members who have to deal with this.
That's Bob Lehman, executive director of the San Diego Gay Men's Chorus. On the same night as Hermina Hirsch's triumph in Detroit, the Gay Men's Chorus was set to perform in San Diego. Lehman and about 100 members of the chorus had been looking forward to the evening since January, when the Padres invited them to perform at Pride Night. They'd done it once before, last fall, and it had gone really well. This new date meant a lot to some of the chorus members.
I had one young man from North Carolina, and he was using this as an opportunity to help his relationship with his father, and he thought this was something common ground they had, professional baseball, so you know, for him being on the field was, you know, probably the biggest day of his life.
When the chorus performed in the fall, the members who didn't want to buy tickets to the game simply went home when the anthem was over. But this time, someone at the Padres sent an email making clear that wouldn't be acceptable.
And it kind of insinuated that we knew that we had to pay for tickets and that we never should have expected to get in for free and kind of accused us of not sponsoring the event.
It took a little while, but the Padres eventually apologized and conceded that the chorus members who didn't want to stay and watch the game didn't need tickets, which doesn't mean the team didn't make any money on the arrangement. Bob Lehman spent $360 on tickets for friends and family.
I was hoping we could put that all behind us. We were looking forward to singing that night.
As is customary at Petco Park, the chorus pre-recorded their performance for the evening. The Padres insist on it.
So you would think, oh, well, we're just singing along with, you know, music that everybody's going to hear. You're not nervous. But, you know, it was a huge game. It was the Dodgers and the Padres. So there were, you know, over 40,000 people in the stands. That was going to be our biggest live audience ever in our 31-year history.
So what happened?
Just as we prepared to sing, we were standing in center field, and our artistic director raised his arms to start us, and instead of our music starting, it was the voice of one single woman singing the national anthem.
Can't you see by the dawn's early light?
You know, it felt like forever. Even then, you know, 90 seconds or so of the song just seemed like a lot longer than normal. We eventually joined in and sang along because that's what you do to the national anthem. As we were leaving the field, there was some applause of encouragement, people saying, keep your heads up, there'll be another time. But then, unfortunately, there were a couple jeers. One person yelled, you sing like a girl.
Lehman says San Diego hasn't always been the most welcoming place for the LGBT community. He says protesters showed up at his wedding. But, he says, last Saturday night's debacle was just a mistake. And as a result of conversations he's had this week with Padres CEO Mike D, the team and San Diego Pride have forged a much better relationship. Lehman says something really positive has come out of all of this. But the San Diego Gay Men's Chorus is not yet ready to commit to a future performance at Petco Park. I wasn't able to find out whether any of baseball's 30 teams pay their performers or provide more than a ticket or two per group free of charge. Major League Baseball would only say that the league had no central policy on the issue. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.